broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for October 29th in the year of our Lord, 2015. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founders. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That's our guide. The checks and balances inspired by the Almighty, put in place by the founders. Brilliant. And the solution to the problems we face in America today. Morality in the people is the only way to restore the republic, realizing that family is the fundamental unit of society, and then turning to the Almighty Author of Liberty for guidance. And as we are obedient to his commandments, we'll be blessed and free. And if we don't, we'll simply be in a tyrannical situation. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Sam and Kurt on your radio. This half hour is brought to you by thepowermall.com. Incredible health food, videos, books, and more. Just tell them Sam and Kurt sent you. Thepowermall.com, as our buddy Joyce Riley says, do business with the good guys. All right, a quick recap of yesterday's show. We talked about the Utah population hits 3 million, 4 million expected by 2031. We talked about Walgreens to buy drugstore chain rival Rite Aid in a $17.2 billion deal. Wow. The deal would combine the second and third largest drugstore operators under the Walgreens brand. And if it gets regulatory approval, you'll have intense competition between Walgreens and CVS Health. Wow. I'm not running for president to build my resume. No. And the last thing I want to be is a politician, says Ben Carson. I'm doing this for our children and our grandchildren. So on one hand, he claims he's not a politician. On the other hand, he whips out the Hillary Clinton phrase, it's all for the children. Our Constitution was written for them, meaning our children, says Ben Carson, to empower them and to ensure that they have the opportunity to fill their, listen carefully, to fulfill their God-given potential. I agree with Ben on that. House Republicans begin impeachment against IRS Chief John Koskinen, Washington Examiner. House votes overwhelmingly to reopen the Import-Export Bank. Indiana restaurant owner offers discounts to concealed carry patrons following robbery. My business. I can give discounts to whomever I please. That's what restaurant Papa Roo's owner, Art, I don't know how you say his last name, Bouvier, that's what he tells the critics. After the thief made off with the money, Bouvier took to Facebook to announce that until further notice, your concealed carry license will get you 25% off your food bill when you dine in with us. Gotta like that. That was hour one. Hour two, L.A. Unified, meaning Los Angeles Unified Police Department. I guess they fired an attorney.
L.A. Unified.
It's not the fire department. It's the school district. I guess, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, L.A. Unified, the school district down there. I guess they fired an attorney who blamed 14-year-old student for having sex with a teacher, saying it was the 14-year-old's fault. And the problem with that is I don't get the fired again. I guess this attorney kind of went off and they fired the attorney, then the attorney got hired back. And I don't even understand what's going on down there. But it's all the more reason to get your kids out of the government school, okay? It's just that simple. Whether you're an L.A. Unified or any other school district, it's disaster in the government schools that are the 10th planks of the Communist Manifesto, okay? L.A., we're still bound down in California. I guess they're now requiring that stored handguns by law be locked up or, quote, disabled. Kurt Wisely warns, how useful are they when they're, quote, disabled, huh? Porn star sentenced to nearly 6 years in prison for extorting a tech tycoon. And I don't really get this, so let me get this right. You're allowed to, you know, be like a porn star prostitute. Just don't charge too much money. Is that the idea here? I don't really get it. Nevertheless, 6 years for extortion. What about the tech guy? You know, maybe he had to look for love in a little different scenario. Maybe like church instead of the... Anyway, Jeopardy contestant, her name is Becky Sullivan, provides a humorous conclusion to her appearance. She divulged some, quote, behind-the-scenes details while she was on Jeopardy as well. She tweeted, quote, inside info, if you will. This 30 seconds of footage, you know, where they play the Jeopardy music and such, and we're supposed to be thinking and writing, she says it had to be retaped. It's all fake. It's bogus. How did she melt down on the air but create a classic attack on liberals? I guess she was supposed to say a certain flower that was on the screen, and she called it a pansy. Upsetting liberals. I guess that's not what she needed to say at all. So she lost. Donald Trump's in the media. You surprised? He says the media are a bunch of scum. He's right as rain on that fact, but I don't see Donald Trump doing anything of substance to change that, by the way. Hey, you held ransom by malicious spyware? Just pay up, says the FBI. Also, no charges filed after the government watchdog finds the Bureau of Land Management illegally sold wild horses to slaughterhouses. We also talked about police chiefs call for universal background checks on all gun sales. We talked about it looks like a regular room with simple aesthetics. You got laminated wood flooring, etc. It seems like no problem, right? But with a touch of a button, the kitchen disappears. The dining table and chairs sink into the floor, and a bed and a nice entertainment center come out of the ceiling and the walls. Believe it or not, an estimated 27% of Americans live alone, according to census data. So in the urban centers, they don't know what to do. They don't have enough room for everybody to live alone. The answer is to get out in the country a little bit, maybe. The answer is to kind of spread out on this wonderful earth the Almighty's given us. To not live in these urban centers, in my opinion, cesspools for crime, corruption. Live out in the country a little bit might be a good idea. But also this idea that everybody wants to live alone. What about the family? The fundamental unit of society that we ought to return to, huh? If I bring that up, they say I'm a terrorist. So the ultimate sleep solution is simple, ladies and gentlemen. It's a two-ingredient solution that will help you get a good night's sleep. Yeah, what are those two ingredients, you ask? Raw honey. Yeah, and then they say this specialty kind of salt, but I think they really mean just salt without all the government chemicals added. They say five parts to one. Mix that dude up. Put a little bit of it under your tongue before you go to sleep each night, and voila, you get a great night's sleep. If you want good, honest, raw honey delivered to your door, get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com, 801-669-2211. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. 801-669-2211. Now, a lot of people might think I just put that all together to create a radio commercial for Kurt, but it's not true. The truth is, it's a fantastic sleep solution that I found. It just so happens that my buddy sells honey. I don't think there's any conspiracy there. However, if you want to take part in the conspiracy, get raw honey today. All right, there you go, Kurt. Without further ado, that's a recap of yesterday's broadcast. The news the networks refuse to use today starts now. I guess it's all about the debate once again. I feel like deja vu, Kurt. Welcome, sir.
Yeah, buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Yeah, do you feel like we're just doing this over again?
Well, yeah. It was kind of interesting last night. I listened. I was driving home, you know, and
scary.
So,
huh?
I didn't look. You know, it did keep me awake.
Did you feel like you were listening to the Jerry Springer Show, sir?
I would say that at least, especially the first part, was a lot like that until I think Ted Cruz lowered the. I don't know. If
he oh, that's what they the say. Boom. Yeah.
I heard him, and he did pretty well to tell him.
Yeah, I don't think so. I got the sound bite. It's coming up, ladies and gentlemen. The reason I don't think so is because it's all talk, right?
Well, yeah.
The Republicans on Wednesday, right before the debate, Kurt, the House Republicans went ahead and nominated Representative Paul D. Ryan of Wisconsin to be the 62nd Speaker of the House. So Ryan's in right before the debate. Do they talk much about that, Kurt?
Yeah, there were several mentions of, you know.
And did anybody put a different proposal and say who they thought it should be to replace the speaker instead?
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But I did hear, you know, that, hey, you know, just more wasteful you know, out of control government.
Yeah, the only thing I heard Rand Paul say was, we don't think much will change with Paul taking the helm. I mean, with Paul Ryan taking the helm. Rand Paul, I'm getting the Pauls mixed up here. I'm not getting mixed up in my mind, but I'm just not clarifying, because Rand Paul claimed that Paul Ryan won't change much up there. It'll just be same, ho-hum kind of stuff. And Rand's
right. Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I didn't hear much about it. But I didn't hear anybody propose who they think should be speaker either, not even Rand. Don't worry, though. Trump wins the CNBC poll. Cruz and Rubio battle for second. Carly Fiorina way in the back. They say it's an all-out war against CNBC. That's bogus. Moderators got booed again and again. Who won, who lost? We'll break it down. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character. Where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental. Where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
The mainstream press caving in on itself and claiming that, you know what? The mainstream press or NBC or CNBC lost the debate last night. How that's possible is, you know, beyond debate. But yet, the strange thing is, you almost wonder if it was intentionally done. We'll get to that as the broadcast unfolds. Nevertheless, Kurt wisely said, hey, you know what? Ted Cruz rocked. He attacked the media big time, and he did. But I don't believe it. I think it's hollow. I think it's bogus. Listen up. Here's what was said.
Senator Cruz, congressional Republicans, Democrats, and the White House are about to strike a compromise that would raise the debt limit, prevent a government shutdown, and calm financial markets. That fear of another Washington-created crisis is on the way. Does your opposition to it show that you're not the kind of problem solver American voters want?
All right, I agree it's a bogus question. I agree the media was asking bogus questions all night. I agree they want it to be a Jerry Springer show. That's what they got. Sad to say. I believe the Republicans are in bed with the media to create this, by the way. Although, if you listen to Ted Cruz, you believe that, by golly, the Republicans have had it with the media. They're taking off the gloves, right? Here's Ted's response. He ignores the question entirely and goes off on the media.
You know, let me say something at the outset. The questions that have been asked so far in this debate illustrate why the American people don't trust the media.
As right as rain. I'm telling you, that's spot on.
This is not a cage match. And
again, see, cage match, Jerry Springer show, same kind of scenario, right?
You look at the questions, Donald Trump, are you a comic book villain?
Are you a comic book villain to Donald Trump? Ben Carson, listen.
Ben Carson, can you do math? John Kasich, will you insult two people over here? Marco Rubio, why don't you resign? Jeb Bush, why have your numbers fallen? How about talking about the substantive issues people care about?
Well, the people love it. The people think that's phenomenal. And rightly so. The people think that's great.
Do we get credit for this one?
Trump tries to get in, but he's ignored.
Carl, I'm not finished yet. The contrast with the Democratic debate, where every fawning question from the media was, which of you is more handsome and wise?
So this is a question about the debt limit, which you have 30 seconds left to answer, should you choose to do so.
Let me be clear. The men and women on this stage have more ideas, more experience, more common sense than every participant in the Democratic debate. That debate reflected a debate between the Bolsheviks and the Mensheviks.
All right, it was a great comment, but here's what he said. We have more ideas, more, you know, poise, more everything than the Democrats. Not compared to what needs to be done in America, not compared to the brain trust that America is, that the talk show hosts provide, that the list goes on and on. Compared to Hillary, who are the Democrats? Hillary and Joe Biden? Grandpa, pornography man Joe, trying to pick up on everybody's wife in public? And Hillary? Wow, that's a real bold claim there, Ted. You're like, hey, I'm smarter than you are. What kind of a statement is that? How valuable is that? Takes on the mainstream press, supposedly. Now listen up. Everybody's loving it.
And nobody watching at home believes that any of the moderators has any intention of voting in a Republican primary. The questions that are being asked shouldn't be trying to get people to tear into each other. It should be, what are your substantive solutions to people?
Okay, well, they interrupt them right in the middle of a good point. Instead of it being attacking each other, what about our substantive ideas to care for and direct the country? It's a wise question. Ted's right.
I just want the record to reflect. I asked you about the debt limit, and I got no answer.
You want me to answer that question? I'm happy to answer the question.
Senator Paul, I've got a question for you.
So you don't actually want to hear the answer, John?
Senator Paul?
You don't want to hear the answer. You just want to answer the insult.
See, they tell him he's got time left, and they argue. Okay, look, why are the media arguing with the candidates? Agree or disagree? Deal with your attacks. Why is the media arguing? They've done this in every debate. Why are they arguing with the candidates? Over what? The questions that are being asked. So, Ted Cruz's suggestion is, hey, you're not being fair. You're asking clown questions. You're bogus. The mainstream press says, what are you talking about? We ask solid questions. Let the record straight.
Used your time on something else. Senator Paul?
So you're not interested in an answer,
John?
I'm interested in an answer from Senator Paul. Senator Paul, the budget deal crafted by Speaker Boehner and passed by the House today makes cuts.
That's the end of that, Kurt. Now, here's the problem, Kurt. What has Ted Cruz done to change the narrative of the mainstream press and to get a fair shake, to really have a long-form discussion about his ideas? About what he really believes, about what he'd do, about what he sees the problems to be, how he'd fix or restore or care for America, how he would keep his oath of office, etc., on down the line. What has Ted Cruz done to foster that kind of a discussion to be forced into the mainstream press matrix, Kurt? Anything you know of?
You know, I No, I don't know how to answer your question.
It's great political theater, Kurt. It really is. Everybody loved it, right?
Well, yeah, it's good. Well, what it is, at least in my opinion, there were a number of good points, good comments, good discussion, you know, that kind of thing. You know, I especially appreciated Dr. Carson's, you know, basically his encouragement to, hey, I'm not going to be trashing you guys. You know, if you want to join me, I sure appreciate it. You know, that
yeah, and I
stuff.
Think Ben Carson is and correct his, on that. He pointed to what Reagan called the 11th Commandment, right?
Yeah, and his comment at the end about how he thanked them, you know, for their efforts. He thanked the crowd, you know, the audience, you know, and it's just, I mean, in my opinion, the conversation or the comments by Cruz illustrate the situation very well. I mean, if you go into an area and you know it's your enemies and they're going to try to make you look bad, you should expect that. He pointed out, just like with the normal deal with the Democrats, how they just asked about everything like how cool are you or whatever, none of this kind of stuff. Now, I simply don't want to tell you by that I'm just Mr. Republican, but at least in the talk that they give. Now, I want to make sure I emphasize talk, and most of the time it's not walk, but the talk that they say, I'm, you know, more aligned with what the Republicans have to say.
Then who? The Democrats?
Well, then the Democrats. But let me just say,
hey, at least in all fairness, the Democrats at least had a real debate about some issues.
Well, not that I could really tell. I mean,
you don't think so?
It seemed like it was just a, you know, just a crown Hillary.
Yeah, but that's the issue, Kurt.
If you ask me. Okay, all right, that is the issue.
Yeah, if they say that's the issue, that's the issue.
All right.
If you're going to go into their realm, and you're going to go into one of the most liberal cities in America, in Colorado. Mm. You're going to go in to some of the most liberal press of all. Then you're going to be like, man, you guys are treating me unfair. It's kind of like you picked up a rattlesnake and you got
bit
or, you know, whatever, you struck, whatever you want to call it. Okay. Really? Okay. That's great. What are you going to do about it? Hey, Ted Cruz, you're going to come on Liberty Roundtable Live. I'll give you 2 hours straight, 8 segments, 10 minutes a segment, separated by mandatory commercials that I don't have control over. I'll give you 80 minutes, and I offer this to every candidate, including Hillary and any of them, on all sides of the aisle, including third-party folks, etc. And I'll give you long form, and you know what? I will ask half of my own questions, and I will let you even give me the other questions you would like me to ask. In other words, I'll ask a question, you get me to ask one of your questions that will help lay out to the American people who you are and what you stand for, and I will pay for every bit of it. Now, are they even going to consider that offer, Kurt?
I don't think so.
All right. There you go. How genuine is their attacks and or complaining on the press? It gets worse. I was most disappointed in Rand Paul. I'll tell you why.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live. So I was most disappointed in the debate with Rand Paul, and I'm going to tell you why. Rand Paul got a lot of talking time, believe it or not. He got 1 6-minute and 27-second stretch. And Rand and a couple of the candidates were complaining how they got bogus headquarters. They got like bathroom size headquarters. Trump and Carson got lavish digs, so to speak. And so that was kind of the pre-debate stuff. What a waste of time. Why don't you people just let me be in the debate and I'll just sit in my own house and we'll do this debate virtually speaking. Nobody will even have to travel. And, you know, I'll have my own digs, my own, you know, I'll even drink my own water. Okay. But I've offered for these candidates to truly come and have an open debate, an open forum, and I'll take each candidate individually so there's no debate or Jerry Springer style to it at all. I get to ask some questions, it's only fair, but I will even take their own questions that they want asked about their policies, their plans themselves, and I will ask their own questions so that they have a fair chance to frame the arguments, to set up the question to be as, quote, fair to them as it can possibly be, and then to let them answer. But none of these candidates will take us up on any of that whatsoever. But think about it. How big is, NBC, what's the group called, Kurt? I don't even remember this mainstream press.
CNBC.
Name. Oh, yeah, CNBC, because they had MSNBC and everything else, and so it's hard for me to remember. CNBC, okay. And CNBC, basically, how big are they, Kurt? If you put Liberty Roundtable Live, The Power Hour, Vincent Finelli's USA Prepares, John Stattmiller's National Intel Report, Alex Jones's InfoWars, together, and I could name several other hosts, I'm just making a general point here, Michael Rivero's program, et cetera, add your favorite, you know, two or three hosts to the mix, and we all got together and agreed. How big of an audience would we have compared to whatever it is, CNBC, Kurt?
I don't know.
No doubt it would be bigger. And no doubt it would be more like-minded Americans, Kurt, that would actually consider voting for the candidates.
That's the key point, at least in my opinion, when these candidates, maybe they're just unaware of it. But
all right. Well, if they're unaware of it, you should be able to make them aware of it, Kurt. So I go with that. I give them that pass if they really don't know. The problem is there's no way for you to help them know either. See? So not only am I ignorant, but it's impossible for you to correct my ignorance. Kind of an idea.
Yep.
Okay, and that's where I draw the line and say, you know what, Ted, I appreciate your rhetoric, but there's no validity to your claim. You love the mainstream press. You just pretend you don't. You've had three debates with, in my opinion, arguably the three most abusive liberal organizations that exist. Is that right, Kurt? I mean, you know, now we can even bring Rush Limbaugh in because he's been pretty critical of the mainstream press. Let Rush join us. Let Glenn Beck join us if you believe it needs to be bigger. Fine. Now what if you had Rush, Glenn Beck, Michael Savage, and Lori, what's her name? That other talk show host that's...
Laura, you're talking about not Dr. Laura.
No.
You mean...
Ingram. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, you add those guys to the mix. All right, you're fine. You want to bring some of the Christian right into the mix? By all means, put your favorite Christian talk show host in there. Add Michael Medved. Add, what are those other guys' names, Kurt? They're in the Salem group, the Michael Medved and the Dennis Prager and the... Who are those guys? Yeah. Right. Add your favorite couple of those guys. Now how big are we compared to these other guys? I submit we blow them out of the water. And I submit most of us would ask pretty fair questions at least. And what if we promised that half the questions came from you, meaning the candidates? You can even ask each other some questions if you make that part of your own questions. And then there's no way you can claim that the questions are all manipulated and we're on attack dog mode and all this other garbage. It's all political theater. Rush says so, Trump says so, and I'm seeing so. Now, let me play this soundbite from Rand Paul. I'm so disappointed in Rand. He had 6 minutes and 30 seconds, and he absolutely focused on some key points, but not all the way. Listen up.
You know, I left my medical practice and ran for office because I was concerned about an $18 trillion debt. We borrow $1 million a minute. Now on the floor of the Congress, the Washington establishment from both parties puts forward a bill that will explode the deficit. It allows President Obama to borrow unlimited.
Okay, that's bogus. It allows President Obama to borrow? Hey, Kurt, is Barack borrowing the money? Is that really a fair assessment to say it allows Barack to borrow the money, Kurt?
No.
Okay, so I don't mean to be rude. He's right when he says we spend $1 million a minute. He's right when he says it's both parties that are going to spend us into oblivion. He's right, but he's not even pointing to the truth. Who holds the purse strings, constitutionally speaking? The answer, the House of Representatives, ladies and gentlemen. And he should be directly blaming the House and the Senate. Because before it ever even gets to the president's desk, you've had 535 people he's leaving blameless who constitutionally have that responsibility. For the greatest constitutionalist on the stage, that's an absolute disappointment. Now listen up.
It amounts of money. I will stand firm. I will spend every ounce of energy to stop it. I will begin tomorrow to filibuster it, and I ask everyone in America to call Congress tomorrow and say, enough's enough, no more debt.
Senator Paul, the budget deal crafted.
Okay, so this is a soundbite where they skip that he had a chance to talk there. That was his statement. Now they ask him, so they go from item to item to item, and it's all the, I shouldn't say all, at least most of the Paul clips together in a row, okay? 6 minutes of them. Listen up.
By Speaker Boehner and passed by the House today, makes cuts in entitlement programs, Medicare and Social Security disability, which are the very programs conservatives say need cutting to shrink government and solve our country's long-term budget deficit. Do you oppose that budget deal because it doesn't cut those programs enough?
No, I oppose it because you're taking money from the entitlements and then spending it immediately on other items. That's what they're doing. They're taking money from Social Security, and they're going to spend it on the military, and they're going to spend it on domestic spending. Here's the thing. When you look at raising the debt limit, it should be leverage to try to reform government. In 2011...
So Paul's not even against raising the debt limit. He's just saying when you do it, you need leverage. What about the idea to not raise the debt limit? That's not even on the table, not even from the most constitutional candidate there. Listen carefully.
The sequester was passed as a reform to slow down the rate of government. Instead, The Washington establishment raised both. We raised military spending, took from entitlements, and raised domestic spending, and the deficit will explode under this. This is the unholy alliance that people need to know about between right and left. Right and left are spending us into oblivion. We should use the debt ceiling as precisely designed to force upon them budgetary reform.
Senator,
now, I think he's right. But I don't see that he's going about it right at all. And I'll explain why in a minute.
What you just said is true. Why did Speaker Boehner craft this deal? And why did Paul Ryan, who has a strong reputation for fiscal discipline, vote for it?
Well, that's a real question. Is there going to be any change in the House with new leadership? I frankly don't think there will be much change. Because I think what's going to happen is you're going to get more of the same. People in Washington think they were sent there to be adults and govern and do all this. Well, you know what I'm worried about? Not keeping the government open. I'm worried about bankrupting the American people. We're borrowing $1 million a minute. That is important, and that's what we have to contrast.
It is important, and he's right about that. However, there's no solution, really. Listen up.
Keeping the government open and continuing to borrow $1 million.
John, thank you, Senator.
I'd like to thank Ted for co-sponsoring my bill, Audit the Fed. And I think it's precisely because of the arrogance of someone like Ben Bernanke, who now calls us all know-nothings, that's precisely why we need Audit the Fed. I think it is really a very much a huge problem that an organization as powerful as the Fed comes and lobbies against them being audited on the Hill. I would prevent them from lobbying Congress. I don't think the Fed should be involved.
Yeah, where would you get the authority to prevent them from lobbying Congress like anybody else? Their creation, an unconstitutional creation of the very body you sit in, my friend. How are you gonna do that? With what authority?
Involved with lobbying us. I think we should examine how the Fed has really been part of the problem. You want to study income inequality? Let's bring the Fed board and talk about Fed policy and how it causes income inequality. Let's also bring the Fed forward and have them explain how they caused the housing boom and the crisis and what they've done to make us better or worse. I think the Fed has been a great problem in our society. What you need to do is free up interest rates. Interest rates are the price of money, and we shouldn't have price controls on the price of money.
He's right about that. But what's auditing going to do? Okay, you could say, well, Sam, the plan is to audit and eventually end the Fed. I get it, but I don't hear him saying end the Fed once. Very interesting. When we come back, we'll talk more about Rand Paul's comments. And I'll tell you, I haven't gotten to the real part I'm disappointed in yet. He's doing okay, but he sure spent a lot of time on very little issues. I'll tell you that right now. Liberty Roundtable, live.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Oh, I had a problem with breathing. Well, I stopped to do some walking. I had a problem. I had a heart attack, my second one. I take this pill, and I feel great.
I had 3 bypasses 10 years ago, and I was in bed almost 24 hours a day, and painkillers out of this world. I started taking this. I'm down to almost no painkillers at all, and it helped my circulation 100%. My medical doctor, and I went to see him, and he could not believe it. There's no way it went down that fast. He could not believe it. I showed him what I was taking. He said, don't stop taking it. I wouldn't do without it. It's unbelievable.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
So I'm disappointed in Rand Paul. I haven't even gotten to the biggest reason why, but we've listened to him for 4 minutes plus straight. And all he told you was we're spending $1 million a minute. It's a serious problem. Washington's selling us out. We got to get a handle on it. We got to audit the Fed. I agree with all those things. But I submit that's kind of the least of our problems. Then Rand said he wanted to go in and tell you about his tax plan and how all that relates. Now, he gets very long-winded and confusing here. Listen up.
Much of the discussion is centered over whether or not the different tax plans help or affect the middle class. In fact, it's the chief argument by Democrats against many of the different flat tax proposals. Mine is unique in the sense that my tax plan actually gets rid of the payroll tax as well. It shifts it to the business, and it would allow middle-class people to get a tax cut. If you just cut their income tax, there isn't much income tax to cut. Mine actually cuts the payroll tax, and I think it would spread the tax cut across all socioeconomic levels and would allow then it to be something that would be broadly supported by the public in an election.
Senator Paul, among the leading...
Okay, I don't mean to be rude, but that was so vague. Hey, I'll get rid of the, payroll tax or whatever you want to call it, and I think that'll really help everybody. Wow, that's not a really solid plan. No talk of abolishing the IRS. No talk of the Communist Manifesto and how we have direct taxation that's a problem violating the Constitution. It's just, hey, my plan's better than yours and a little tweak here or there. But then they go on and get into Social Security, etc. Listen.
Conservative opponents to the creation of Medicare back in the 1960s was Ronald Reagan. He warned that it would lead to socialism. Considering the mounting costs of Medicare.
Ronald Reagan warned that Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare would lead to socialism. Wise warning, by the way.
Was he right to oppose it?
Was he right to oppose it, Rand?
The question always is, what works better, the private marketplace or government? And what distributes goods better? It always seems to be the private marketplace does a better job. Is there an area for a safety net? Can you have Medicare or Social Security? Yeah, but you ought to acknowledge the government doesn't do a very good job at it.
Yeah, there is a place for that, thinks Rand. I say there's no place for it. But Rand says there is. But you got to, hold them to the fire. Good luck with unconstitutional programs and holding their feet to the fire, Rand. Good luck with that plan, my friend. It won't work very well for you.
The main problem with Medicare right now is that the average person pays in taxes over their whole lifetime about $100,000. But the average person takes out about $350,000.
All right, his numbers weren't exactly right according to the fact checkers, but he says the biggest problem with Social Security is the average person only puts in $100,000, gets out $350,000. Kurt, is that the biggest problem?
Well, he says, I think he's talking about it being the big problem that makes the program not want to stick around. In my opinion, the biggest problem is having the program in the first place.
Okay, there. See, but Rand doesn't even touch on that. He says the biggest problem is it's spending more money than it's bringing in, really. If we were to fix that, we'd be okay. It's impossible to fix that, ladies and gentlemen. You can't fix a broken, unconstitutional theft of wealth Ponzi scheme. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know Rand's trying to be careful, but he's not even telling you the tale anymore. Listen up.
We have this enormous mismatch because we have smaller and smaller families.
Now listen, we have smaller and smaller families, we have enormous mismatch. Now, this is the first time I've really heard families being talked about, but listen up, listen carefully. Rand Paul trashes children and trashes the cycle of life. He doesn't mean to, but he did. And I didn't like it, and I'm completely offended by it. Now listen to what Rand says.
When people ask me, whose fault is it? Whose fault is it that Medicare's broken out of money, that Social Security's broken out of money? And I said,
whose fault is it, Kurt?
Well, you want me to tell you what
no.
he says?
No, I want you to say what the truth is.
Well, the truth is we should have never had the programs in the first place.
Yeah, it's all of our faults as Americans, and primarily those whom we elect.
Yeah.
Especially the group that holds the purse strings, the House of Representatives. If you want to get direct, okay? But he doesn't say that. He says it's not the Republicans or the Democrats' fault at all. Listen carefully.
Look, it's not Republicans' fault. It's not Democrats' fault. It's your grandparents' fault for having too many damn kids.
There you go. Now, you could say that was tongue-in-cheek. He was joking. What kind of a message does that send? Hardly any talk about the family in the whole debate, Kurt. And one of them is, you know, it's your parents' fault for having too many blank kids. That's the problem, Kurt. Can I reject Rand Paul's words? In fact, that was offensive. Kurt, you want to comment on that?
Well, you know, maybe what he's trying to say is if we had more children now, then the program would work.
Well, you're right, and that's the point, but he didn't say that. Not at all.
Yeah, and the program is a bad program because government, you know, the constitutionalist at least should be pointing out that that's not in the Constitution.
Now, if Rand would have stepped up to the plate and said the problem is we've fallen for the birth control lies, we're a pro-death society, Roe versus Wade has set the stage to murder children who could be wonderful members of families, the fundamental unit of God's plan for society, and if we had more children, we could maybe pay for the plan better. It wouldn't be as upside down. Okay, I get that.
Yeah.
But he didn't defend the family or defend having children. In fact, if I was a liberal, if I was a pro-death person, I'd grab that soundbite from one of the most conservative camps in the country and say, even he believes we have too many blankety-blank kids. Right? So then Rand, after assaulting children and the family and saying that's the problem, he then goes on.
After
see, everybody laughs. Everybody loves that. Right? All right, then listen.
After the war, we had all these kids, baby boomers. Now we're having smaller families. We used to have 16 workers for one retiree. Now you have 3 workers for one retiree. It's not working. I have a bill to fix Medicare. I have a bill to fix Social Security.
Okay, I'm going to go to government to fix that. Instead of saying we need more children, we need to quit killing babies, he misses the biggest opportunity on the whole stage, the pro-life opportunity. And that's the issue that made me want to back Rand in the first place, because he had some very valid pro-life statements that I was impressed with. But he misses the boat. And he says, the problem is, hey, I can go to government and solve all that for you, Kurt. I got bills, man, that'll fix it all. What's the likelihood of a bill fixing the real problem, Kurt?
It's pretty unlikely.
Unless the bill abolishes the program.
Yeah, good point.
All right.
Security. Senate. For both of them, you have to gradually raise the age. If you're not willing to do that, nobody wants to do it, but if you're not willing to gradually raise the age, you're not.
Is the age really a valid part of this discussion, Kurt? Fact checkers show that raising the age hardly helps at all.
I'd raise it up to, you know, you start participating at like 300. You know, somewhere
all right,
in there.
There you go.
That would
But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a year or two. It's tinkering with the system at best is all it is.
Serious about fixing either one of them. Liberty thrives when government is small. I want a government so small I can barely see it. I want a government so small that the individual has a chance to thrive and prosper. I think, though, government's too big now. What you're going to see in Washington this week is the establishment Republicans have made an agreement with the president to raise the debt ceiling in an unlimited fashion. No limit to the debt ceiling raise. This is extraordinary. It's extraordinarily wrong. You'll see me on the floor of the Senate tomorrow filibustering this and saying, enough's enough, no more debt.
I agree with him. I think he's right. But, Kurt, I think when compared to the moral issues in America, think about the whole purpose of this broadcast. That is to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property. Okay, Rand Paul just had 6 minutes and some odd seconds. I'd have to pull it up again and see the exact time. But over 6 minutes, and I don't disagree with what he said, Kurt, exactly. I mean, I disagree with a little bit of it, but for the most part, I'm not really in disagreement. But I think he missed golden opportunities. And out of the items he brought up, yeah, the debt's too big. We spend $1 million a day. We got to stop it. Yeah, I got a bunch of bills to fix everything that's the problem. But I don't really see that he focused on the fundamentals of morality in America. I don't really think that he promoted God, family, and country too much. In fact, he didn't say a word about God that I know of. When he talked about family, he pretty much said your grandparents are just, you know, involved too much in the sack and brought too many kids around. That's the problem. And then I didn't really hear a whole lot about the protection of life, liberty, and property, really. I mean, yeah, it's true that if we could audit the Fed and if we could have some accountability there, it would make some sense. But he didn't once talk about abolishing the IRS. He didn't talk about abolishing any programs at all. Kurt, I was so disappointed that I couldn't even consider voting for Rand Paul anymore. All right, any wrap-up thoughts from the debate? I guess Trump won, huh, Kurt?
Well, according to the Drudge poll, I thought it was interesting, you know, how they're gonna say, well, you know, those guys that have hardly any backing or any support, you know, they need to go home, okay? So that's how they typically do it, especially if they want to get rid of somebody. In this case, you know, Mr. Bush got 0.51% of the Drudge report.
That's phenomenal. He ought to be in the next fourth debate with the mainstream press for sure.
Over 250,000 votes, and he got 1,297. Huckabee got 0.55, so he was 1,386. Kasich, 1.23%. Christie, 1.59. Fiorina, 2.16. Carson, 3.69. Now, that to me is a pretty big story right there, how low he got on there. Paul, 4.14. Rubio, 11. Cruz, 22. And Trump at 52. That's the numbers from the.
And so I want to know, and we'll have to wait until next hour to break this down. What were Trump, the leader, 52%? How many votes, Kurt?
132,000.
132,000 voters in the Drudge poll. Very conservative audience for the most part, I would submit. They put Trump over the top, 52%. He blew everybody else out of the water. Rubio, yep, second by far. Fiorina,
no,
not
Cruz.
Even. Or Cruz, I'm sorry.
Cruz
second. By far. Not even Fiorina or Carson or anybody else they say was at the top. Cruz just jumps out of nowhere land. Okay? But what did Trump do that would be kind of a breakout, give him more lead in the polls? We'll talk about it. LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure.